quickly through the last chapter of Philippians. Next Sunday, we're going to be meeting over in the auditorium. Brother Dwayne's going to be bringing the lesson. And I want you to bring a heart of prayer, asking God to speak to you, your neighbors, your loved ones, your family. And for the next 2 months, I'm asking our Sunday school department to give their heart to prayer, drawing nigh unto God. He said, if we draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh unto us.
Amen.
So I just want to try to spend a couple months and drawing nigh to God, and also hopefully drawing nigh to one another in unity. I'm convinced that the major problems that our churches have is this matter: we just don't have a whole lot of love. I mean, you know, we got a lot of love for ourselves and the things that we consider right, and the things that we desire. We got a lot of love towards that. But I'm talking about what the Bible calls real love. That sense of as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, about that kind of love that God has. It's not merited. It's not because of anything we do. It's simply because it's the nature of God. And when you love people, when you really love people, you want what's best for them. And when you really love yourself, yeah, you want what's best for you. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm the kind of fella, I'm like Brother Jim Sides, you know. I like sweet things. That might not be what that, it's not that good for me, but, you know, I like the sweet things, you know. And he always said he went and got his dessert first. You still do that, Brother Jim? And sometimes what we really need is some greens. They're a little bitter, you know. And but you can learn to like greens. I love greens. There ain't a green made that I don't like. And as a matter of fact, I'm not really one that's real crazy about desserts. But I would tell you what, once you get to eating them, buddy, I got to have a little bit more. You know, I got a little bit more. But when you really love, when you really love God, you know, and, you know, think of this thing. You wouldn't have no problems about people being in lack of attendance, you know, in and out, here one service, out the next service. Because when you really love God, you know, you want to please Him. And when you want to please Him, you do what He tells you to do, what He asks you to do. Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" And when you love Jesus Christ, you know, hey, you ain't got to worry about people being in church. You ain't got to worry about them praying because, you know, when I don't know how about y'all, when I first met my wife and was courting her, I didn't have no trouble talking to her. I called her every day. Matter of fact, we didn't have a phone, and I had gotten a job, and I told my mom and them, I said, "If you have the phone put in, I'll pay for it." Why? I wanted to talk to my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife in, but my girlfriend. I wanted to talk to her, you know. And I'm not much on writing letters, but I wrote a lot of letters back then, love letters, you know. So sweet. You don't have no trouble, you know, talking with the one you love. You're going to be spending time in prayer. And any of you guys ever get any love letters from your wife or love notes or stuff? Huh? Did you read them more than one time?
Oh yeah.
Well, this is God's love letter to us, and we won't have no trouble staying in it. When we got that kind of love towards God, and we letting the love of God come through us, and I'm gonna tell you this right now. True love can only come from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Without it, you can't love. Without the Spirit of God, you can have some things that people call love: romance, infatuation, desire, you know, lust, whatever, you know, it takes all kinds of forms, you know, and that people call love. But there's only one real love, and that's produced by the Spirit of God in the hearts of men. Without it, we're unable to. God is love. And we need to realize that, and you know, and if you want to love your family the way they ought to be loved, hey, you got to let God have His way in our lives. If you want to have a church that loves one another, guess what? We've got to let the Spirit of God have our churches. And love, boy, never fails. Charity never fails. That's that love of God. And it works. It's always at work. Now, take your Bibles, and like I said, Philippians chapter 4. I ain't got much time, so I'm going to have to go real quick over my notes. I hope we can finish them. And here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly loved, my dearly beloved." You see, the ones that Paul was trying to kill, now they're his dearly beloved. What's the difference?
Christ.
Amen. The love of God that was bestowed in his heart. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for." Boy, you know, and when we begin to long to be with the brethren, long for it. Not to get away from church, not to get in to get out, not just to say, "Well, okay, I'm here, I did my duty, I showed up, boy, let's, you know, come on, get the thing rolling. Hey, preacher, you got 12, 15, give that invitation, I'm hungry," you know. When it's our dearly beloved and longed for. I mean, it's the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. The Bible, Jesus said, "When you did it in the least of these," I mean, whatever you do to this man right here, whatever you say about this man right here, however you treat this man, that's how you treat Jesus. But when you long to be with the brethren, Jesus said, "You did it unto me." If you long to be with Jesus, guess who you're going to long to be around? His church. Amen. His body. For we are Christ in this earth. We are His body. He's in every believer. And when we have that longing to be with the believers, and we have that unity, that mind, you know, hey, I mean, you know, you wouldn't go home and say, "You know what? I tell you what, I can't stand this finger. Gets on my nerves. I've had it with it. Go out there and get you a hatchet and chop it off, will you?" Huh? That's the kind of stuff that's going on in our churches today because of that lack of love and unity. Didn't get her way. Tired that finger. I always want to pick my nose. I'm doing away with you. He said he longed for it. They're his dearly beloved. His joy. Is the brethren your joy? You joy in the brethren? Huh? Ask yourself, do you know any person that you either go to church with now or went to church with before? Now, you know they're saved, but you just didn't really, sometimes just didn't like them too good. Is it a joy for you to see them? What's going to happen? You know, the rapture take place, and there's that brother, you know what I mean, that we had that attitude again. Is it going to be a joy for you to see him? my joy and my crown. I'm tell you something. It's the only thing that we're going to take out of this world with us is the brethren. We're all going together.
Amen.
We better sow into one another. Amen. That better be what you love. Don't put too much into this world. You're going to leave it all behind. Then, it says right here, therefore. Now, when it says therefore, you need to look at what come previously. Look up here in verses 19. Now, here's why. My dearly beloved, he says, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Why? He tells of about a group of people, actually begins in verses 17, says, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Now you're either that crowd or you're this crowd whose joy is the brethren. And then he says, for our conversation is in heaven. Not on earth, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. You can look at it. We're looking for Christ Jesus. He's going to change our vile bodies. Like unto his glorious body. That's why we should stand fast. We're expecting and looking for the Lord to come at any moment. We don't want Jesus to come back and us got some attitude against one of the brothers. Got an attitude against the church. I'm determined within myself that, and we're going to get to that. I'm just going to jump over it. I'm going to go back into the next verse. We'll get to that in just a minute. Look, in 4, verse 2 through 5, it says right here, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful. Am I going too far? Yeah. No. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I actually went too far. And I left out verse 2. I beseech Iodas and I beseech in Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. And rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. And let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, there I put this. We need to have that same mind that Christ had, and you find in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8, you know, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Because he was a laborer who come, and he had one reason for being here. That was redeem the lost. He come to seek and save that which was lost. And here you find people having the same mind, yoke fellas, people who are getting together, laboring to reach out for the souls of men. as Jesus Christ did. That's the reason why we ought to be like-minded with Christ. Paul said, be ye followers of me. Follow me as I follow the Lord. What did we find Jesus doing? He came into this world to seek and to save which that was lost. He went about doing good, preaching the good news. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's why we're here. That's why he came. That's the reason why after he saved us, he's left us here. I mean, if it wasn't about saving souls, he'd save us and took us on that. But he has left us here to do just what Paul is commissioning these to do. He said, look, you know, you two fellas, you ain't getting along real good. Lay these differences aside. Get the same mind that Jesus Christ did and get with it. I might not agree with somebody how he's going about doing something, but if he's doing something for the Lord, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, pray for him, that he'll keep going on. Because if he's gathering, he ain't scattering. And you remember those disciples that said, they're not with us. They're not doing things the way we're doing. Should we call fire down? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. He said, should we call fire down and destroy them? He said, you don't know what. He said, if they be on our part, they're not against us. I was coming to church. Seen a Lutheran church up the way. They lifted up the name of Jesus. Guess what? I appreciate that. I'm glad they did.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know if there's a soul saved in that church, but to God be the glory. I bet you there is, huh? I just about bet you there's somebody in that church and there's the Lord. There's only, by the way, there's only one church, and it isn't the Baptist. It's the body.
Amen. Amen.
And that body's made up of different congregations. Now, you say then, why do you go to the Baptist church? I go here because it's where God put me. And if I found something that was, I felt like I was doing things in a better way, and God led me, I would go there. But I'm sticking right here until God says, you got to go.
It's time to go.
Look here. And 2 through 5, having the same mind. Look at chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's been using this verse a lot here lately with me, you know. How many of us have problems arise, you know? And next thing, if you ain't careful, you get to thinking on it. Your mind, you know, studying the problems and you're trying to figure out how you can take care of it and everything. Well, the Lord says be careful for nothing. Then don't worry. Commit it to God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, I mean, when you got a problem comes up, rather than sitting there, oh God, what am I going to do? And sitting there trying to figure it out. When the problem comes up, and say, Lord, I got this problem. There's this situation in my life. There's this situation in my children's life. There's this situation, you know, between me and my wife or between me and my children or somebody I work with. The reason why that's become so important to me is the place where I work is not that easy to work at. There always, you know, there's always a spirit, hey, stupid, why'd you do it this way? You know? And if you ain't careful after a while, you know, you hate to even talk to anybody about anything because, you know it's going to be something. You know what I mean? It's going to be a problem. You know what I'm trying to do now? God really spoke my heart about it. He said, your biggest problem is you don't give respect to these men the way you should. I respect their position as a supervisor or as an owner, but I didn't have a whole lot of respect for them as a person because of the way they act. Didn't mean I didn't love them. I just didn't have much respect for them. And so, you say, well, what did God tell you to do? To shut up and pray.
Amen.
He said, well, what if they treat you wrong? Shut up and pray. Remember Jesus, right? As a lamb before his shearer's dumb, he opened not his mouth. Anybody had to say, why are you doing this to me? You ain't got no right to do this to me. I haven't done anything wrong. Y'all are the ones that's wrong. And he had the power, buddy. He could have shut it down, but he didn't. I wonder if they ever thought afterwards, say, you know that fella, he's kind of strange. You know what I mean? We were doing all this wrong, and he just didn't say a word. What do we normally do? You push me, I push back. Normally the way we do. You say something cutty to me, I say something cutty back to you.
There you go.
See, the problem's me. With thanksgiving. God, thank you for this problem because it's given me an opportunity, a reason to talk with you and see what you knew about it. And you said kind of everything in the past. What's the worst thing that happened? They fire me. I go find a different job. They say something ugly to me. I look at them. Made up my mind. Somebody come say something. I said, well, I'm sorry. And then I'm going to say, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray. I do better.
Amen.
I said, I'm going to pray for you too. You know what's going to happen after a while? They jump on me too much. They're going to get tired of hearing me say, I'm going to be praying for them. I'm going to be praying about it. They're probably going to really lay into me. I don't want to hear about that for a while. I said, well, that's the only thing I know to do. I'm going to try to use all my problems for an opportunity. Because I want revival in me. I want to be a different kind of man. I want to be like this man. Four, don't worry, just pray, give thanks. Amen. And notice what it says. Make your request known, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if we'll learn to do that, guess what? We'll start having peace in our hearts and minds. Because God's going to give it to us. Because you did the right thing. You're listening to me now, boy. Keep doing it. Keep doing what I'm telling you to do. Don't worry about what they do. Worry about what you do. Amen. Look over here. And this verse, boy, when I was a young Christian, I stowed this in my life, then I got away from it. 2 weeks ago, man. No, it's been, yeah. About 2 weeks ago, while I was studying, looking over this, that thing, it really hit me again. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, hey, if we ain't careful, Man, we watch, you know, NBC News or CNN or Fox Network or any of that stuff, and you know what you'll be thinking about? Everything is wrong. Everything is bad. Everything is of a negative report. Everything is, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. We know that. Huh? Is that what we want to think about? That's the reason why, you know, we need to keep our minds positive on a good report. Hey, we are preachers of the what? What are we preachers of?
Good news.
The good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You ain't gonna give out good news if your mind's full of the things of this world and what's going on in this world. And I'll tell you, it'll happen. I guarantee you. Somebody will come up, and we've all got this problem with long tongues, and before you know it, we want to tell. Let me tell you about something, you know. Whatever I tell you about some kind of problem, some kind of something that somebody's doing, you know. Hey, tell it to Jesus. If I use stuff like that as, I've had people do that to me, if I use it as an example, I'm not going to tell you where it came from. You're not going to hear me talking about Melvin. I know some things, but I'm going to keep it quiet, Brother Melvin. All right? I'm kidding. You know, I'm kidding. That kind of mess goes around, you know, everywhere, in church, at work, at whatever.
Amen.
Look at this. Whatsoever things are true. And when I was thinking, when I was looking at this verse, all I could think about was Jesus. I remember right after I first got over to Gospel Light, and I heard Jerry Whitehart say, if you could take the words in this book and make a man, it would be Jesus. He is the incarnate Word. He was the Word of God made flesh. And he said, whatsoever things are true. This Bible is true. It's true. From beginning, thy word is truth. From beginning and end. And guess what? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was so... Hey, the Word was with God and the Word was God. That's true. I know that that's true. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is that true witness. You can look through this Bible and you will find Jesus Christ on nearly every verse, if you'll look. He is true. And whatsoever things are true, God's Word is true. Jesus is the truth. He's the true witness. And whatsoever things are honest. Now, I'm not going to ask you about your honesty. I'm not going to ask you, you know, about your thieving and lying and cheating and, you know, stuff. We've all got a past. Hey, just a few screws. I could use a couple of these at the house. A couple bolts here and there. Cookie or two, you know. Jesus, as anybody that was honest, in Luke 8:15, the Bible said it is God that worketh in us, both the will and the do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
And you'll find several places where I talk about us to set men that are honest. Set them in places of authority. People that hateth covetousness. People that, you know, desire to do what is right, honest in their dealings. Where did that come from? have an honest heart, out of an honest and a good heart. Well, our hearts ain't good. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one amongst men. So what's the goodness that he's talking about? It's the goodness of God. That's men that are godly, men who have God in their life, men who have the Lord Jesus Christ. They've yielded themselves to the Spirit of God. That's why they're honest. 1984, when I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and life, I'd worked for a Salisbury millwork. I didn't think nothing of it. I mean, sometimes some of their little tools got mixed in with some of my little tools, and some of my tools, some of I got worked in there too. When I left, I had a couple router bits that was in my box that I had been using there. I didn't take them on purpose, but I had them. I got saved, and I got left, and I found them router bits in my tool. You know what I did? Took them back. And when I took them back, you know what I found out? I felt so, well, I appreciate you bringing them back, you know. They wouldn't have been there. You know, you go through router bits and places like that, you know, all the time. But I took them back. They weren't mine. I gave them to him. He said, you know what happened here a while back? He had a fella that had bought some clamps from a fella that he had stole from Salisbury Millwork. He said, he had gotten saved. He brought them back. He paid for them. Another fella had stolen. Honest God, Jesus Christ, in our hearts. If there's anybody honest, it's because of him. Whatsoever things are honest is God that worketh in us. Hey, look down here, and also, he said, whatsoever things are just, in Revelation 15:3. Take your Bible, let's turn there. I want to read that. Revelation 15:3, just. And they sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true. He's just. We're not. Well, I'll tell you what. You ever seen such an unjust court system as we have? It's based upon deceit. Both ends. On the side of the prosecution and on the side of the defense. Both sides. Crooked as all get out. All about winning.
All about money.
Lord have mercy. And then put that poor lady up there with balances. God hates an unjust balance.
Amen.
And we need some people to cry aloud. There's some things that ought to, if you ever get a revival in a county, and I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be more justice in our court systems than the kind of junk we got going on today. Just. Whatsoever things are just. And whatsoever things are pure. Praise God. If it wasn't for the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Every word of God is pure. He is that living word. He's pure. He's not defiled. Nothing in this world it takes him. He's not filled up with the things of this world. He's filled up with the things of God. He's altogether righteous. He's pure. He's not defiled with the things of this world. He's not defiled with the things of Satan. He's not defiled with his self-interest. He only wants what's right and just and good. He's pure. I'm going to tell you what, we need to be glad for that, because if he hadn't have been pure, he certainly couldn't have died for us.
Amen.
He had to die for himself.
Amen.
He was pure. And that blood was pure. make us pure. God looks at us now because of what Jesus Christ, that new man, has been washed. Amen? Got this new man in us. And it cannot be corrupted because it's been sealed, amen, with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And we got a new man in us that's just as pure as the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, it ought to make us happy.
Amen.
We're going to have some rejoicing knowing what God has done in us and what we have in Him because of Him. We need to think about it. You know what? Again, what's the message? Be a loving because of what He's done in you. And I'm going to tell you something. Love is not a noun. It's a verb.
It's an action.
It's something you do. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Amen. Is He lovely to you this morning? Is these truths of the Bible, is that lovely to you? Is the brethren lovely? Is the church lovely to us? You know, lovely things that provokes love in me.
Amen.
I look at Jesus, you know. We love Him because He first loved us. He's lovely. I think what He's done for me and my family, it provokes love in me. He's altogether lovely. Look at the Song of Solomon. That word lovely is only used about two or three times in the entire Bible. But what a powerful thought. The fact that He is the altogether lovely one. He's lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Amen. Turn to Isaiah 53. You know that portion of Scripture? Well, I know. Heard it read from time and time again. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness that we should see Him. There is no beauty which we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as it was our faces from Him. He was despised. We esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Smitten of God and afflicted, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall praise God. He's talking about us there. His seed. Over in the book of John, he talks about whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. That's that new nature. We have in us. You got a new nature. It can't do nothing wrong. It's perfect. And you got an old nature too. It can't do nothing right. But praise God. Hey, his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant, Jesus Christ, justify many. for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's a good news, friend. He took our punishment. He was punished by his Father for all the things we done wrong. Now, his seed is in us, and God looks at us and he's pleased. Amen. You can please God. You know why? Because you have the faith of Jesus Christ in your heart. You can please God. Amen. I like the idea that I can please God. You can't please man. I'll tell you, if you got God in you, you can take pleasure in the brethren today. We're getting ready to go in here. Getting ready to go in here right now and have service. We can take pleasure in that. We can take pleasure in the Word of God. We can take pleasure in the songs of Zion. Why? Because of what He did for us. I would encourage you. Set your affection on Him. Let that verse speak to you this week. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. I didn't get to this part, but the next verse is, the things that you have heard and seen in me, he said, do. Do these things that you've learned from the Word of God. Do these things. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this group of men. Lord, I just pray, God, that you just bless them.